Hello, welcome to The American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and thank you for tuning in to The American Pulse. How are you all holding up? It seems we are living in truly historic times, and it feels like we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, doesn't it? Are you sensing the same thing? We have a great guest lined up today, a woman who offered an interesting perspective to me off air, and I asked her to record something with me so I could share it with you all here. Before we get to it, I wanted to share a few memes with you to tee it up. This one's from RFK Jr., who canceled the CDC's flu shot campaign, saying, quote, "If you get the flu shot, you will probably avoid the flu, but it makes you 4.4 times more likely to get another illness because the shot damages your immune system," unquote. And also from RFK Jr., who says, quote, "Five states, Texas, Utah, Kansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, are suing Pfizer for knowing and concealing the vaccine causing myocarditis, pericarditis, failed pregnancies, and deaths. That's 10% of U.S. states. The tide is turning," unquote. And from the vile Texan who says, quote, "The U.S. Treasury can't track $4.7 trillion in payments. Medicare sent $2.7 trillion overseas to people that weren't eligible. And the Pentagon lost track of $2.5 trillion. Social Security sends $100 billion a year to people with no identity. Department of Education spends $50 billion a year to make your kids transgender," unquote. On a smaller scale, I saw Doge just canceled a 16-year monthly payment of $11,000 to Michelle Obama for quote-unquote White House garden maintenance. I didn't realize Michelle was such a valuable member of the White House ground crew. Oh, wait, the garden was removed in 2017. Oh, man, what a sham D.C. is. And speaking of shammy government entities, from C3 comes, quote, "So it turns out that just about everyone in D.C. is funneling taxpayer dollars to their spouse's NGO or nonprofit firm," in which Elon Musk simply replies, "Yes," unquote. Let's get to our sponsor and our guest, an American with a unique background and real wisdom for all of us in these rapidly shifting times we live in. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by The Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, The Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is Amber Cantu. Amber is a mother, a Christian, and the sixth generation granddaughter of Chief Seattle. Today, we catch up with American Amber Cantu. Enjoy the interview. Okay, I am here with Amber Cantu, mother and sixth generation granddaughter of Chief Seattle, right here in Seattle. Welcome to the American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, we got connected from our mutual friend, Jolie Lansdowne, and we had this first conversation. It was really good. You brought up some really interesting things that I think is fresh and getting a fresh take on things. But I wanted to ask you just to start with, so, you know, you're the sixth generation granddaughter of Chief Seattle and a devout Christian, which I find really interesting. And I guess I wanted to just ask you, how do you integrate the two philosophies? You know, how do you integrate your background and your rich background in the native tradition and also marry that with a Christian faith? What does that look like for you? And, you know, was it challenging maybe at any point in your life, or was it a natural kind of integration growing up?
So it was, I accepted and became a believer in Jesus Christ at the age of 22. Okay. And before then, I have had lots of different family members with different faith backgrounds and beliefs. But being raised as a Native American in our culture and beliefs, what happened was when I started reading the Holy Bible for myself, I realized that, wow, our culture, our belief system, and how we live our life as Native Americans is actually, it is actually the image of the Bible, and it's hospitality, it's community, and then going all the way back to the beginning, the first womb, which is Earth, was the first womb of Adam. And so when you look at our belief system and you look at what, you know, a lot of our cultural beliefs and our worship, it's like, wow, this is so wild that we can go all the way back to the beginning. And as I study the Hebrew and I sit under a lot of Jewish rabbis' teachings, I am blown away at how similar our belief system and our worship from the time that I was young on up has been. And I'm just like, it just blows me away. And so it truly is, you know, when we look back, we all really derive from Adam and Eve. And so, of course, our stories would be conducive with that. So
it's really interesting. Yeah. You know, because I think of, when I think of Native American tradition, and some of what I have, of course, is kind of filtered through cliche and stuff, but I think of it, I would not guess that there would be a natural integration, because for me, I think of the Native American tradition as being more earth and kind of feminine oriented, and with powerful figures like White Buffalo Woman and like the medicine of the animals and stuff. So I think of it as different, you know, icons in their faith and stuff like that. So it's interesting that you've done a deep dive and you're like, no, I can find the through line through some of this stuff.
Right. And you look at, I mean, even in that, you know, women represent, look at Naomi. Mm-hmm. And what you just brought up a woman, this amazing figure. Well, Naomi is an amazing figure, and she is the same thing. She is the feminine of, you know, image of God. Yeah. And in the Hebrew culture, they really revere her, and they actually revere her as, you know, a mother of the nations. And it's the same thing, you know. So we really, when we get deep into it, and then the water and the earth, you know, the original content of that really is that the earth is speaking and the water is speaking, and, you know, all of creation is groaning for us to tell it what to do. I mean, that is the Bible, and that is our belief in how it's raised, you know, and we move with creation. And if we're hearing and listening to creation, then we know what it needs and we know how to nourish it, so it will nourish us. And that is the word of God. I mean, he hovered and brooded over, you know, creating from the beginning, and it was the sound, and it was a frequency being released. And that's our belief, you know? And so it's like, man, it's just from beginning to end, it really does coincide with now, you know, here I am, you know, decades later. But it still coincides with our beliefs and how I was raised in the beginning. And so just like the deeper I get involved in, and like you said, a deep dive research into the Hebrew culture, the more, and I like to look at it in the original context of what, you know, how the Holy Bible came about, you know, so That's great. I can get a deeper understanding, because in my culture, everything is from a story. We have storytellers, they're historians. And from the time that they're young, they're raised with our stories, so that they're like computers. Everything's being inputted into them, so then they can then tell it, you know, from the origin and the way that it was being told. And so I'm just, even in that, it's just, there's so much that just mirrors, you know, it mirrors creation.
That's great. I love that. You know, we talked previously, and just shifting gears a little bit.
Yes.
We all went through the pandemic. And I've never gotten a native viewpoint on how all of that went down. And you and I were talking ahead of time about this, and you said, you know, it was kind of a smallpox blanket moment, you know, again. And I saw it as the same thing. I saw it as a smallpox blanket moment for the entire world as they were rolling this out. And I got in a bunch of hot water. Like, I got banned from Twitter because I was basically saying, I don't really trust these guys. Like, I don't trust Tony Fauci. I certainly don't trust Bill Gates. And everybody's saying, look, these two, you know, titans are saying trust the science. So get in line and get your shot and shut up. It seemed to be the message. And the kind of rebel in me was just kind of like, I'm not doing this because I have not seen the science yet. Like, these mRNA things are new, and you're trying to tell me I've got to get it because you're saying so. And it just didn't land well with me. And I guess I did a lot of speaking and talking to people, but I've never heard from inside of the native tribes. Like, how did that land? You know, was there a widespread? Did a lot of people get it that you knew? And then, what did you see happening? And lastly, you know, do a lot of people know maybe not to line up next time? Like, was there a learning that went into it? And was there a lot of devastation? I saw a lot of devastation in people. They were quiet about it, but I saw plenty of people that were like, I know lots of people having problems after getting these shots, seemed to be the subcontext of a lot of stuff. So what did you see? What did you see in your circles, and what did you find out?
And from the beginning, I felt from the very beginning when when these were, they're like, hey, everybody needs to get this to prevent other people from becoming ill. I just felt like it was a, I felt and the first thing that came to my mind was, this is like the smallpox. Here, take these blankets. They'll keep you warm. And then, there's an outbreak. And, I just, and that's how I felt about that. And I was sitting there thinking, again, going back to being Native American, we have herbs and remedies, and we know that the earth gives everything that we need to recover. And so we have a certain, there's certain pine needles that actually we use to boil and make teas, and it cures respiratory issues. So I was raised that, that the earth will bring healing, and that's why it's here. And so in the back of, in the back of my mind, I know this, and I'm thinking, so what are some ways then that, we can bring healing to our body without having to inject unknowns into our body that have not been, I mean, it was rushed through approval. We don't know what's in them. Nobody knows what's in them. And how is that going to affect the body in the long run? And then, of course, the people that, I know, were, people were getting ill. People were literally dropping dead of cardiac arrest. And we had family members that have had very, and we've had fatalities, but we've also seen some major physical health issues because of, their free choice to do what they wanted to do. But there were consequences for rushing to do things that nobody really knew. If this was safe or not. And so we're seeing that even now, with an influx of heart disease, autoimmune diseases, things that are attacking the immune system in the body in ways that, haven't quite happened to this caliber. And another thing that I want to say is that, they said COVID-19. So I said, okay, well, let me start researching what were the first 18. Because in my mind, I'm like, what was the remedy there then? And then when I started researching, I realized that, okay, if we have a 19, then there'll probably be a 20 and a 21, and we're all going to live through it. And, you know, and let's just be smart and care well for our body and our community. And that's, you know, so for me, I just was advocating, let's not do something that we don't know anything about.
Did Amber, did a lot of people in the Native tribes that you knew take your approach? Because your approach seems very steeped in the wisdom of those communities. Like, Earth will provide, we don't need to take a bunch of stuff that we don't know about. Like, it seems like that would have been the prevailing wisdom within the tribes, is that kind of sentiment. But was there a lot of people that's just like weren't really listening to the elders or the wisdom keepers at all, and just like, no, we're just gonna get it? I mean, what was the
fear of course really drove a lot of people to the places and spaces of their decisions, unfortunately.
Yep.
And I believe that, again, wisdom for myself, and then me, you know, realizing that, okay, let me start researching on my own. And, you know, I'm going to turn the television off. I'm going to turn social media off, and I'm going to, you know, do my own research so that I can make an informed decision. So, you know, I have 5 adult children. I have 7 younger children. I want to make the best decisions for them and what's going to impact their future, because what I do is going to impact them. Mm-hmm. And so every decision I make has to be one that's informed in all ways. And so that's what I did. I educated myself and informed myself. However, fear was driving, you know, multitudes to do something that they thought was going to eradicate this thing and stop it. In fact, which it didn't, you know, this is something that's still happening, but now it's looked at as, you know, the flu.
Yeah. No, that's really well put. I mean, they're brilliant at pushing fear and getting reactions out of people that maybe aren't in their best interests. And, you know, in a previous conversation, you said something that really struck me. It's something I don't hear very much, even though I run with, in Christian circles. You had said that you had a story, about Bob Ferguson, that I thought was really fascinating. And I wanted you to kind of tee it up and tell it, because I think it's really impactful. And I don't, it took me off guard a little bit. Like, whoa, it had me kind of step back and ask myself, am I too confrontational to people I view as hurting my tribe being all of humanity? Am I too unforgiving? But I'll let you tell it, because I think you tell it in a really great way. And go ahead.
Yeah. So I actually was praying and fasting for 3 weeks, and I was preparing a message. And before I could even prepare the message, which was on the Good Samaritan, I mean, I was really doing a deep dive into that. The Lord asked me, Amber, what kind of neighbor have you been to Governor Bob Ferguson? And I said, well, I would have been the priest or the Levite who just walked by. And I was so convicted in that. And then the second was, you know, have you been praying for his wife and his children? And what are their names? And I was just like, wow, no, I have not. And there was such a conviction there. And I'm like, I have not been a good neighbor to my fellow man. And I just started thinking, this man has been charged with leading Washington State. And what happens in Washington State will affect Washington, D.C. and beyond. And I'm just like, I can't believe I dropped the ball in this way. And I really was brought to a place of, you know, I researched, who is his wife? Who are his children? And I started praying, you know, the protection of God over them, that the wisdom of heaven would infiltrate his mind as he's leading and guiding Washington State, and started praying over his marriage and his children, and asking the Lord to bless them and keep them safe and protect them from all harm. And it, you know, and then the second question after all of that was, Amber, do you believe in the Damascus Road? And I was just like, well, it's the infallible word of God. Of course I do. You know, just kind of, I'll say flippantly. And then he said, Amber, do you believe that Governor Bob Ferguson can rise up like Paul. And I literally was so convicted in that moment. And I said, right at this moment, no. That's where my faith was in that moment. Well, there was a 3-day wrestle with that. And after the 3 days, and I say wrestle, I mean, I'm crying, snotty nose, you know, like cry, ugly cry.
Yeah.
Just every day. And then I got up on the third day and then I was like, I believe. So now my knower, which is my mind, has hooked up with my believer, which is my heart. And I fully and wholly believe that Bob Ferguson can be one of the most amazing evangelicals and walk as an apostle of the Lord, you know, and he can take, you know, his experiences from BC before Christ, and he can legislate and enforce heaven here on earth, you know. And I'm telling you, I was so encouraged, and I fully and wholly believe that, you know, I'm charged with interceding and believing the best for our governor, because heaven collided with my heart for him and I leaned into it.
It's beautiful. It's a really beautiful message. It's so of the times, and it's fresh because you're not hearing this very much. So I so appreciate you sharing it, your revelation about it. And it opens up, one of the things, Amber, is it's opening up avenues that weren't there before, right? It's creating new ways of relating to our situation, because we're all praying that America has its better days ahead of us, that Washington State and King County, we're beaten, but we're not down. We're down, but we're not beaten. We're gonna rise up, and it's gonna take something transcendent. It's gonna take this faith. It's gonna take sometimes praying for who we perceive to be as our enemies. And so I just so appreciate you being vulnerable about it and sharing it. And thank you so much for coming on the American Pulse. This was fantastic to chat with you and touch base with you. And please come back anytime as this continues to unfold. There's probably going to be other things that we can check in on and get your wisdom and get your insight. But thank you so much for taking time today, Amber.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that chat as much as I did. Also, the King County GOP has a rockin' new website, thanks to the amazing Jack Spence. Go to www.kcgop.org to get yourself plugged into what is happening right here in this county. And go sign up for the Lincoln Day Dinner on Saturday, May 3rd at Salty's on Alki. This is our annual fundraising gala, and we will be there, and so will inspiring keynote speaker James Dixon. This is a way for everyday people like yourselves to make a difference with a reborn organization very much in alignment with your American values. Go sign up, and I'll see you there. And we thank you for listening to the American Pulse.